We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
God, I love Natalie Merchant. You like 10,000 Maniacs, Paul?
They're okay. I don't hate them. There's some of their stuff is good.
I used to be drunk at what was the name of that joint? Broadway Joe's, right up the street from my apartment in Buffalo. And I went in one night because of the sign out front said tonight 10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah. Like,
let's go listen to that. Oh, my God. And you walk in. She was nervous back then, Natalie Merchant, so she would sing with her back to the audience, but it was phenomenal.
I would be willing to bet it was a good concert, in concert.
How many great athletes, great entertainers, performers do we miss when they're at their very best? That's what I ask you. Marcus Dupree, Pete Maravich. Nobody saw Pete Maravich when he was truly legendary. Which was as a freshman at LSU, they couldn't play varsity back then.
Right.
So he'd walk in, they'd sell out the freshman game, and then everybody would leave before the LSU, like him, or like so many entertainers and performers. Like, how great must Jimi Hendrix have been before he became mainstream? Like, imagine walking into a coffee shop somewhere in Greenwich Village in 1964 or something, and there's Jimi Hendrix.
No, that would be that. Those kind of stories are incredible. Like you know, I'm into the hair metal thing, right?
The what?
The hair metal thing, you know, the hair metal.
Hair metal?
Hair bands.
Do you know what that is?
Motley Crue, Poison.
Like hair, that meaning they have long hair and they play metal.
Yeah, but in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a genre of music. There was heavy metal.
Heavy metal.
And then what they called hair metal, which was considered a little bit more glam and poppy.
Yeah.
So it was like Motley Crue and Poison and Warrant and Winger and all those, Whitesnake, all those groups.
Right.
But there is a famous place in Los Angeles called The Whiskey, where groups like Van Halen got their start.
Elton John, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so yes. Could you imagine, like, if you were lived in L.A.,
right,
and we're just somebody that went to the Whiskey every once a week or whatever, just to see. Could you imagine the bands that nobody knew who they were,
and maybe never found out? Like in Nashville, right. I remember going to a bar with Steige, and we saw one of the greatest bands I've ever seen, and I don't think they've ever made it big. I'm like, I'm as close as you are to me.
Right.
Like, I'm at the bar, turn around, and there's this band that is phenomenal.
At the closest to that I could come, way, way back, I went to McKee's Rocks, of all places. You remember former Steeler Chuck Sanders?
No.
He had a cup of coffee with Steelers, but he was with them for maybe a year or two. Slippery Rock legend, Penn Hills legend. Anyway, him and a couple of other guys from the team put together a comedy club in McKee's Rocks. So I went one night to this comedy club in McKee's Rocks. It was only open for maybe like 6 months, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it was Chuck Sanders, a couple other Steelers, put together their money, opened a comedy club. And the big name was I don't know, whoever was famous at the time, but he, but his opening act was a guy by the name of Chris Tucker.
Oh, man.
And everybody was laughing. Like, we were laughing so hysterically hard at this Chris Tucker. And then the opening act, you know, the main act was like, oh, okay, well, this guy's kind of like, that guy, you know what I mean? So
he's one of my all-time favorites.
That's as close to one of those stories as I can come is I saw Chris Tucker when nobody knew who the hell he was, and I never laughed so hard in my life.
I cried at the – Friday was great, of course, but what was the other movie he was in?
Well, he was in a lot of movies.
I know, but there was one that
Money
was –
Money Talks was hilarious.
Was it Rush Hour?
Rush Hour was hilarious.
I cried at that. I cried at Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura the first time it came out. I was on the floor, like, just crying. Here's another one.
Did you ever see Money Talks?
No. Funny? Yeah,
it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I can't. The funny thing is, I can't. There's certain like scenes in movies where I watch it. I can watch it 1,000 times and it still has the same effect on me.
Yeah.
You know, I saw one of those the other night. I was flipping through the channels. Did you ever see Tommy Boy with Chris Farley?
Yes.
The scene where he's trying to sell a car, right? He's trying to sell brakes. And he picks up the guy's, you know, model car on his desk, and this is what happens when you know, and he smacks and he lights it on fire. Listen, I can't get through that scene without laughing and laughing till I'm crying.
It's like the Dumb and Dumber bathroom scene with Jeff Daniels.
Yes, but in Money Talks, there's about 5 scenes like that where it doesn't matter. I just can't get over. I laugh so hard every time.
Here's another one. Living in the East End of Pittsburgh when I first moved here, listening to, what was the name of the place? The Rosebud? It was at the bottom of Baum Boulevard, and it was replaced by Dick Scaife's car place. Was it the Rosebud? I don't remember what it was. But we would listen to Rusted Root and this particular song, Paul, which has now become ridiculously famous. We'd be going crazy. I'd be losing my mind. If you pictured me in like 95, 94, something in there, in this joint at midnight, I was going crazy to this. And it leads me to wonder about athletes too. Was the best time to see so-and-so in high school before any of us? I saw Walter Berry. Remember him from St. John's?
Yeah.
Saw him in high school. I think it was actually in AAU. He came through Buffalo. So I went to see him. Ridiculous. Nobody could stop the guy. Lefty, too. How many guys did you see or did we miss?
Who's the best high school player that you ever saw?
Basketball?
Either. In football.
My brother and I went to the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse for an AAU tournament. And there was a team from Coney Island, I think, that had Steph Marbury on it.
Oh.
And he scored every point.
Yeah.
I remember when
the round ball came, the best part of the round ball was the 2 or 3 days of practices up at Duquesne leading up to the
round
ball.
Would you go to
the
could the public go to those
or
you got an in?
I was there. And what's his name? Sean Kemp was an absolute man among boys. And there was the one session, and I mean this, if you look at those round ball programs, I mean, they were loaded with guys who were NBA players.
Oh.
He must have had like 10 or 11 dunks over top of somebody in the practice, and he talked the entire time.
That must have been great.
That's when I said, this dude is different. Obviously, I saw LeBron James in high school. I saw Kobe in high school. You know, I saw a number of these guys. One of the most impressive players I've ever saw in any sport was a LeVar Arrington as a freshman at North Hills. That was absurd.
In football. No, that was like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick.
It was absurd.
I always tell people that was just stupid.
They were playing one game, I remember, and they got a penalty, and it was a 3rd and 19, and they ran a sweep to him, and he ran for 80 yards.
Right.
It was like, remember the Titans, you know, remember the Titans. We've got 80 yards to go to score, so what are we going to do? A backside Georgia reverse.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to try and throw the ball. We're going to run a reverse.
Yeah. We'll run a trap play with LeVar.
We're
going to
run
LeVar.
A reverse. But that's what they did at North Hills. It was like a 3rd and 18 or 3rd and 19. They ran a sweep. Not even like some, you know, a sweep to LeVar. He just ran outran everyone to the corner, and then boom, gone.
Now imagine the players we never saw in high school. What was Wilt like in high school?
Oh.
That would have been like an NBA player against toddlers, or Kareem at Power Memorial in New York City. I mean, what must that have been like? And maybe was that the best time ever to see them? Like, were they the biggest spectacle then, even though they went on to all these great feats? I always wonder about that.
I remember, you know, I mean, he turned out, he was a pretty good pro for a lot of years, but he was one of the guys that went from.
Which guy are we talking?
He went from, Al Harrington went from, you know, high school, was drafted like maybe 20th or something, or 23rd or something by the Pacers. He had a pretty good career, but he didn't become like Kobe or something.
Yeah.
But I remember going to cover him, and he played at St. Patrick's in Elizabeth, New Jersey. They had this tiny gym. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it fit, let's say if the capacity was like, say, 300 people in this gym, there was every bit of 600 people stuffed everywhere. You know, it was just like those in the movies, you know, when like, oh, there's this phenom you got to go see. Everybody stuffs into the gym, right, in the movies. It was the same type thing. Everybody was there to see him. And I walked out of the gym and said, that's pretty impressive. But I was more impressed by the point guard who ended up going to Siena and having a really good career. He was 6'6", point guard. I was actually more impressed by the point guard than I was the kid that everyone's raving over.
I'll tell you who else was a spectacle back in Buffalo, and I played against him, was Curtis Akin. 65 points he had in one game.
Oh.
He had like 2,100 points in 3 or 4 years, whatever it was. He was a machine. And, you know, you have to adjust your game a little bit when you get to college and all that. I think he became more of a pure point guard and things like that at first, at least. So you just never know when you're seeing any given athlete or performer at the very height of their powers. And I'm thinking about this already. We started with a Natalie Merchant song here, and I was watching clips of her way back when, the middle of her prime. And it passes quickly, Paul.
It does. Absolutely.
Pistol Pete. I mentioned him. I'd give anything. If I could watch one guy play sports that I didn't get to see when they were at their best, I would go back and watch him, because there was nobody like him with the floppy socks his first year, his freshman year in that dome they had way back then, that pyramid at LSU, and just watch him.
I mean, that to me, that would be incredible. The thing for me would be I would love to have seen Wilt play. I mean,
did he have 100 points in a high school game too? He must have. Must have scored every point.
Here's all I'm going to tell you about Wilt Chamberlain. When people try and tell me about, you know, who is the greatest and who is this and that, the greatest season ever turned in by a basketball player, and I don't care what anybody says, I mean, an NBA player, right? What year was it here? 1961-62 Wilt. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
50.4 points per game. Per game. For 82 games. 50.4 points. That means if you have a night where you only have 38, you got to come up with 62 the next night.
Wait, I'm going back to high school at Overbrook. It says in 1955 in high school, he was already 7'1". people back then like probably averaged like 5'8 in high school, and he scored 74, 78, and 90 points in consecutive games.
Yeah. So, but that's in high school. Think about it, he's in the NBA. He had 50.4 points per game and 25.7 rebounds per game. Like, what does a leading rebound guy get to nowadays? 13, 14 maybe a game? He had 50.4 and 25.7. Hey, you know what? Lisa Leslie scored 100 points in a game, in a high school game.
What about Mario in junior hockey?
Oh, that would have been silly.
In 70 games, he had 282 points. How's that even mathematically possible?
That's four.
He had 133 goals in 70 games.
That's almost two goals a game, and that's 4 points a game.
In the playoffs, he had 52 points in 14 games for Laval. 52 points in 14 games, including 20, average over 2 goals a game.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I always think about that.
Mario, I mean, anyway, any of those like superstars, they were prodigies. You know, I mean, we can go back even further. How about watching, you know, Arnold Palmer play high school golf? Or, you know what I mean? Or in the amateur or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Or baseball, watching some of these guys.
Yeah.
What they must have done.
Watching, you know, a guy like Randy Johnson when he was, you know.
A senior in high school.
When he was 11 years old. Randy Johnson mowing people down.
Wait, now I want to see how many people Randy. Imagine facing him in high school. I quit baseball because I couldn't hit a curveball. As soon as Bob Newsall, he was a left-hander. I thought I was pretty good, but he was a lefty, and he threw me a curveball that started high and way outside and wound up off the plate inside, literally at my ankles. And when I saw that, I don't know that I said it to myself out loud, but there was a thought, I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to be able to hit a pitch like that, so what's the point of playing anymore?
Right.
It was the most demoralizing single incident of my entire sports career. Limits, did you play baseball?
I did briefly when I was younger. Now just dabbling in wiffle ball because baseball passed me by.
Dabbling in wiffle ball? This kid is incredible, Paul, isn't he?
Wiffle ball. Were you a good wiffle ball player, Joe? I imagine you played lots of wiffle.
One of the greatest who ever lived.
I could so see you being, because wiffle ball guys, that was like a cult in my mind, the wiffle ball guys.
Yeah. I had a knuckleball that was unhittable.
Yeah, my brother and his buddies, they would play wiffle ball literally hours and hours and hours. And they had, you know, all of these different fields that they would set up.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had home games and road games. They corked my back, too.
they would set up, like, and they had, you know, my brother had like 15 different pitches.
Yes.
You know.
The riser, the Craig Panini riser. Yeah. Listen to this, Paul. Long before he became a baseball Hall of Famer, Randy Johnson stood 6'9" by his senior year at Livermore High. An angular and unpolished teenage beanpole, all elbows and knees unfurling into an awkward, menacing delivery, already had a big league scowl and a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. You're a high school kid at the plate facing a lefty who's 6'9" and throwing 95. How do you think that went?
Yeah. And I don't think that – I bet you half the guys he faced were just – they didn't even want to be in the batter's box.
One of his opponents said there weren't a lot of 6'9 guys living out here in suburbia. That yes. must have been – and again, the spectacle that we'll never get to see. We can only read about the legends. All right, Paul. We never got around to Bailey Falter and the Pirates. Let's do that. Let's do our predictions next on everything from the MVP to the breakout player, most disappointing player. We'll involve City Limits very heavily in this. And speaking of City Limits, you have a chance to meet him. Maybe your one and only chance over the phone, if you call right now, to win 2 tickets to see the Pirates take on the Orioles in the home opener Friday, April 5th. First pitch at 4:12 p.m. 412-928-9370. Caller number 3. To City Limits. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. I'm going to be talking to Jeff Hathorn in a little bit here. He's brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Fan text line comes to you via Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Is the pizza here yet, Paul? Is it coming today?
It does not appear like it, but I just saw the fabulous Jules setting up all of the plates and everything else,
coming.
So it's coming.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen to the lyrics on this one, Paul. You'll like it. No, it's not hair metal, but it's still good. Listen to this. Even you'll like it, Little Limit. Maybe you could learn something.
Poor old granddad, I laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. They'll trap you and use you. And before you even know, love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't you let it show. I wish that I knew what I know.
You know this one, Limits, huh?
When I was younger.
You know this one, Paul?
When I was stronger. Can't search, so pretty sure.
It's unbelievable. It's actually a wedding song, but probably not a good one considering the lyrics at the start. Thank you, Limits, for putting that in the rotation.
What is that?
I think Rod Stewart sang it.
Yeah, Rod Stewart.
Somebody else sang it. I don't know who that guy was.
It's Rod. I was going to say, that's a Rod Stewart song, but that wasn't Rod Stewart.
That's the guy that you gave me the music for this morning to play.
I know. I just don't know his name. And again, we get back to Daisy Jones and the Six. They were at a party one night, and they all broke into that song.
Colin Hay? Is that who it is?
Yeah, I want to go see him.
Okay.
The Hayseed.
But that wasn't his song, though. That was
No. Someone else wrote it. Yeah.
Rod Stewart sings that song.
Yeah. And somebody else wrote it. I think Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones. Is that his name? Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones? Remember Leon Wood from North Carolina, Paul?
Yes.
Was that his name? He was great.
Yes.
Al Wood. Was that his name?
No.
City Limits wasn't even born.
Ronnie Wood.
Who's your favorite all-time North Carolina basketball player? Jordan?
Of course.
Really?
Of course.
What about Matt Doherty?
Yeah.
What about Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Jimmy Black, Walter
Armando
Davis,
Armando Bacot,
Antoine Jameson,
Antoine.
Vinny Carter,
ooh.
James Worthy.
Do you agree with my contention that Vinny Carter is the best dunker of all time?
No. Dominique Wilkins.
Here's why I say Vinny Carter, because he did contest dunks in game.
He did, but so did Dominique Wilkins.
I know. He was crazy.
His nickname was the human highlight film.
I had a poster of him, too. Him and James Worthy in my college dorm. We can't get distracted by more basketball talk. Well, here we go.
Here we go. Wait. Let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
This guy here, right? This is what I hate about lists like this.
What?
He says, so who is the greatest North Carolina basketball player?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, if you include the pros, it was Jordan, and he was pretty damn good in college, too. But you might find somebody with a better college career than Jordan.
This guy's on his list.
Walter Davis?
Tyler Hansbrough, he has.
Oh, come on.
The best North Carolina player forever.
Get out of here.
Phil Ford, second.
Phil Ford was great.
Lenny Rosenbluth, third.
I don't even know who that
is. Okay. Then finally, in fourth, he gets to Jordan. Get the F out of here. Okay.
Jordan did win them a title with a shot against Georgetown.
And then they have Antoine Jameson, fifth. I mean, he wasn't even the best player on his own team. Antoine Jameson played with Vinny Carter. Anyway, go ahead.
And you know who else they played with? Dante Calabria.
That's right.
And I called when Vince Carter retired, I called Calabria. I said, tell him, just let's get right to it here. I won't waste your time. Tell me the best play you were ever involved with Calabria in. He says it was an out-of-bounds play, maybe against Duke. He said, I throw the ball. It's a horrible pass. It's designed for him for an alley-oop, but not a dunk. It's a horrible pass. He reaches up with his left hand and takes a turnover waiting to happen and turns it into a dunk on an out-of-bounds play.
Wow.
They also had the big kid. That's pretty, I mean, ridiculous.
Yes.
They also had the big kid from Seton LaSalle. What was his name?
Oh, Kevin.
Remember?
Kevin. Kevin!
7 footer.
I sound like the lady from Home Alone. Kevin! What was his name? Kevin what?
Not McAllister.
The seven footer from Seton LaSalle.
I want to say Pittsnoggle keeps coming.
What was the best dunk you've ever seen live, Joe?
Oh wow! It was Vince Carter. I went with my friend Ray Myrna, and I think my brother Johnny to Toronto.
Right.
It felt like he took off from half court. I know that's not real, but that's what it felt like.
I tell you, the best I ever saw. I was at Point Park, believe it or not. We played Fairmont State. So we're driving down there thinking, okay, you're going to be playing a bunch of country bumpkins from, you know, the middle of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Little did we know that Fairmont State had basically every Division I reject and guys that probably were 30 years old. And, you know, it was one of those programs. So they come out and they're all black, right? And they had this dude that was like, he had those real thin calves, looked like Big Daddy Kane, the rapper. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
Mm-mm.
Listen, he got the ball on the wing, took one dribble, and we had this big dude, this big guy from Philadelphia, stepped in. He went up, and he tapped the ball on the glass, then brought it down and reverse dunked it.
And reverse dunked it.
That, over top of our center. And, of course, all of us on the bench jumped up because it was on, you know, it was on the baseline where we, you know, where we were sitting on the, all of us that were sitting on the bench jumped up and were like, whoa! And Rager, who was our coach, turns around and starts screaming at us, you're not supposed to be cheering when the other guy dunks this, that, or but it was so ridiculously impressive. That's the best dunk I've ever, and believe me, I've been to a million NBA games, million college games. The best dunk I ever saw was Big Daddy Kane looking dude from Fairmont State.
Did you play with a kid named Damon Wade?
Yeah, he was right after me.
I did a huge feature story on him.
He was unbelievable.
Oh, my God, was he great.
He was unbelievable.
Well, I guess if you're including games I played in, it was at Memorial Auditorium where the Buffalo Braves used to play. We made it to the local semifinals, and a kid from South Park in Buffalo, not here, Gary Wheelbon. Again, this was a rebound dunk. I thought I was getting a rebound. The ball was coming into my hands. This dude jumped. If he didn't jump over me, it was awfully close because I know what the bottom of his sneaker looked like.
Yeah.
And he rebound dunked it. Gary Wheelbon. Can we get to Pirate Talk for a moment?
Yeah.
Where did all that start?
Well, we were talking about dunks. That's all.
You know, why? What happened?
Did I ever tell you that my dad, I don't think I've ever told you this. So before we get to Pirates, that my dad played at Canisius. Did I tell you that?
I met your dad in the hallway.
That's right.
And we talked for half an hour about Ray Hall from Canisius.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And people like that.
I'm sitting across from you, and you just mentioned the Buffalo Braves. And of course, I told you about the times that I played pickup with Randy Smith.
I don't think you told me about that. He was the fastest guy in the NBA.
Yeah. I played. We'll talk about that some other time. Some other rainy day where we need something to talk about. Ask me about my games. Playing pickup with and against Randy Smith.
Wow. He was a soccer player at Buff State and turned into an NBA All-Star Game MVP.
Yes.
Limits? How did we get from Rod Stewart to Gary Wheelbon? What happened there? What was the line of
North Carolina best basketball players, Vince Carter, Michael Jordan?
I have no idea. Kevin Salvadori was the kid's
name. Kevin Salvadori.
And I didn't need Twitter to get that. Nobody helped me. It was Kevin Salvadori.
You're right. That was his name.
All right. You have the Pirates at 78. I have them at 79 wins. Limits, what do you got?
I officially picked 85.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm
Bailey Falter for the Cy Young, maybe?
I'm thinking more 81, 82, 83, but 85 with the assumption Jared Jones is that pitcher that they claimed they were going to add but never did, that it was just internally.
All right. Can you tape this? I guess it naturally tapes, seeing as we're on the radio, right?
That's right.
I want this to be saved as what we call a time capsule that Ron and I used to do. So late September, early October, we can listen to this, okay? Breakout player for the Pirates. Who? Who's going to be the breakout player? I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'll say, I mean, this seems obvious, but I don't care when he gets here. It's going to be Paul Skeens. Maybe one of you will say Jared Jones. Maybe one of you will say somebody else.
Well, I mean, breakout player to me is guy that we kind of know has talent that needs to finally get it done. Like, you know what I mean?
You're going to pick Jared Triolo, aren't you?
No. No.
You're going to pick Bailey Falter.
Hank Davis.
Hank Davis. I like
that.
That's
the one that, that's the answer for me. Hank Davis is going to be, he's going to prove that he can be a catcher full time in major leagues. And I believe he's going to have the kind of breakout at the plate that we've been waiting for.
Limitless one, what do you say?
I'm shaking my head because that's my answer as well. Davis only hit 213 last year.
Yeah.
He's the only guy to ever hit two home runs off Shohei Ohtani in a game.
I do. That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Anaheim. Yeah. That's the potential I think he lives up to this year.
I'll bet Ohtani wasn't trying that day.
Maybe not. Do you think he bet on himself that
he
let
that horse
down? Yeah.
Now that game starts to stand out to me. He gives up two home runs to Hank Davis. Did the translator have $4.5 million on that one? Limits?
Possibly.
We'll get blown out by the Pirates? That one seems awfully suspicious all of a sudden, now that you mention it. You're not allowed to have the same pick as Paul and I. Sorry.
All right, then. Who'd you pick again, Joe?
I pick Skeens.
I'll go with Jared Jones, though.
Jared Jones. I think he's going to be interesting.
Jones / Triolo. I like what Triolo brings, too.
What does he bring?
Versatility, but they're going to keep him at second base. A good bat. Not a lot of power, but the ability to hit doubles and drive in runs.
Yeah, I actually think he's a really, really soft-handed fielder. I like him there.
You want to go one at third.
He got to hit a little bit, though. I know he hit a little, but he has no power.
No. Three home runs last year.
Of course, he'll hit two off Ohtani in a game this year, I'll bet.
Well, I mean, I think if, yeah.
His translator might, too.
Oh, yeah. Ohtani might bet that as well. I think that, you know.
How do you translate Hank Davis into two home runs in the same game? That's my question. Sorry, Paul.
What do you think? Here's my thing. You could also go with O'Neill Cruz.
Sure you could. He really hasn't broken out yet.
As the breakout player. Who's going to be a breakout player? Because O'Neill Cruz has been a lot more of wow. But in terms of actually doing it consistently over the long season.
He's never had a full season.
He hasn't even had a full season yet.
98 total games in his career.
That's amazing.
I mean, to me, if he hits 40 home runs, that would probably consist of being a breakout
30
player.
30 would be a huge breakout.
30 or 35, right? Yeah. I mean, but what about Henry Davis? What would he have to do to constitute a breakout player? To me,
that's a good radio tease. Let's talk about it next. I'm under enormous pressure right now. I've gotten a reminder to stay on the clock, which I haven't done for, 6 months. So maybe I should. Let's hold that thought, Paul, and we'll get to biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, who's going to lead the team in various categories, how long for our friend Shelty, et cetera, et cetera, as we put together a little Pirate time capsule. Yesterday was amazing. Your generosity amazes us every single year, Pittsburgh. Thanks to all who are able to provide over 270,000 meals for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank through our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. Thanks to our friends at Spitzer Toyota, Bill Few Associates Wealth Management, Hampton Beer Outlet, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Dollar Bank, and Wiggle Whiskey for their support. You can still support by purchasing a Feeding All Yins shirt from our friends at Steel City or texting NEED to 50155.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.